Hello and welcome to the NBA Outlet presented by OTGBasketball.com. Make sure you follow OTG on Twitter at OTGBasketball. Also hit that subscribe button. I am your host, Nick Faye. With me today, Corey Waldron and Jack Manuel. How are you guys doing?
I'm as happy as Eric Bledsoe at a hair salon, Nick.
It's Halloween. It's Halloween weekend, and somehow I woke up without a hangover. It's a beautiful day. Nothing is as ugly as the Chicago Bulls' 38.5 field goal percentage.
Ooh, yeah.
Talking about surprises and disappointments, let's start with the biggest surprise so far in the NBA this year, and that has to be the Eastern Conference leading Orlando Magic. 4-1 record, two big wins over the Spurs and Cavs, three guys averaging over 20 points, shooting lights out from the field and from three. Are the Magic real?
When did Shaq and Penny come back?
Harry Potter's like put a spell on them. He's literally put some magic on the Orlando squad. Like they're completely transformed.
That's what dreams are made of, right?
Nah, the Magic are going 81-1. I'm putting it out there. But so the Magic will. But in all seriousness, Nikola Vucevic has a PER of 29 right now. Ridiculous. He's probably the best big man out East right now, you know, apart from maybe Joel Embiid. There was a question asked on Twitter, I think it was Hoops Hype, as to like who's the most underrated player in the league. I responded with Evan Fournier, who's averaging a cool 22 points a game. I got plenty of love for that answer. Aaron Gordon is playing like a young Blake Griffin, and shooting threes like an old Blake Griffin. And then they've got also at the same time, their offense is just outstanding. They're the third highest scoring team. They've got the second most assists. They've got the fourth best field goal. Second best three-point field goal. What's not to like about this team?
I'm really happy for Frank Vogel.
Yeah.
Out first. He's finally getting guys into this system, like, you know, getting Jonathan Simmons, drafting Jonathan Isaac, Mac, you know, bringing in Mo Buckets. I really like what this team has, what he's been able to do. This is only his second year down in Orlando. And we're starting to see, you know, him finally establishing his kind of culture around the team. And I think Frank Vogel is very talent. I'm still not sold on Aaron Gordon, but I mean, like you said, he's been fantastic at this point. Vucevic, I mean, at this point is unstoppable. I'm actually losing in fantasy basketball by like 100 because he's been going off, and the guy I'm playing has him. So of course, and then Evan Fournier looks to just have gotten better. He's been more efficient than I've seen him in recent years so far this year. And like you said, the assist numbers, you know, DJ Augustine, well, that was like finding a needle in a haystack. I thought his career was almost over, and he looks rejuvenated down there in Orlando.
Out of Vucevic, Gordon, and Fournier, who is the biggest surprise this season? Obviously, Gordon's missed two games already, but all these guys averaging over 20, shooting great percentages, highly efficient. Who's the biggest surprise, and who's the most likely to keep it going all season long?
I'm going with Vucevic. You know, that whole big man rotation was a big mess last year with Bismack Biyombo. They brought in Mo Spates, who I really like, as Corey mentioned as well. But I think Vucevic has the potential. You know, he started off well. He had that huge game against our Nets, Nick. And that PER, I think PER is probably one of the best stats to show how a player is impacting their team. And to be in the top 10 in the league and one of the best big men in that category shows the impact that he's having on his team. I think Corey made a good point about how Frank Vogel has gotten in some guys that sort of fit his system a bit better. So they've got that nice balance going. I think Fournier will probably be the most likely to, because even last year, his consistency was quite good. Vucevic was a bit up and down. But Vucevic certainly probably has the most talent out of them. And in an oddly weak conference in the East, he's got all the chance to maybe even make an all-star appearance.
Yeah, I'm not going to pick a specific player because I think Fournier, his success depends on Gordon and Vucevic. If they keep banging it down low, it helps space the floor for guys like Fournier to get those open looks and to shoot more threes, especially Aaron Gordon. I'm going to say, if Aaron Gordon can keep this up, 2 years old, he may be, like you hinted, Jack, the next Blake Griffin.
Yeah.
We already know he has crazy athletic bounce. Against your Brooklyn Nets, he went 5 of 5 from three, which was uncanny.
Shooting 70%, over 70% from three right now.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous, Jack. You know, if he keeps that up, though, between him and Fournier, I mean, this team could be pretty solid. I think Aaron Gordon really is the driving force because he's so versatile so far this year.
Yeah, I think you made a great point, Corey. The fact that Vujicic and Aaron Gordon are hitting threes is opening up the floor for everybody else. We know when you have bigs that can shoot threes, it makes it so hard to protect the rim. So I think, you know, these guys are all kind of feeding off each other. Where do you see the Magic, you know, as the season progresses? Obviously, they're playing at an extremely high rate right now and super efficient. I think they have seven guys shooting over 40% from three, five guys shooting over 50% from three, and two guys shooting over 70% from three. Obviously, those numbers are going to come down at some point. So where do you see the Magic kind of landing as the season progresses? You know, maybe around January, where do you think they'll be at?
Look, I think they've got every chance to make the postseason. And around January, if they're still sniffing an eighth seed and they're still hanging around that mark, there's no reason why they can't. One of their main sort of rivals for that sort of seventh or eighth seed, the Detroit Pistons, have also started pretty well, especially after that win last night against the Clippers in a surprise win. So it's all going to come. And even Corey's Pacers aren't playing too badly either, with Victor Oladipo playing like an all-star almost. He's been killing it. So I think it all comes down to...
keep talking about.
I think it'll come down to how the teams around them are performing. I think it's certainly sustainable because I'll harp back onto Corey's point. Frank Vogel is a great coach. He's a proven coach. So if he can, you know, keep this consistency going and the talent can keep on producing, I think the key is going to be their offense because we know Frank Vogel can get a heap on the defensive end and he's got some nice pieces now. But can the offense be sustained? Can they continue knocking the lights out from three? I'm going to pick them for an eight seed because, you know, why not? I want to dream big for the Orlando Magic. It's been a while for them and they deserve it.
I mean, I don't think they're going to go to Disney World at the end of the season.
They're already there.
Right. I think by January, they'll probably be near, you know, a six or a seven seed probably in the conference. I think they're going to drop just because I can't see Cleveland remaining an eight seed. I can't see the Wizards remaining a five seed, the Bucks a six seed. Like, I just think certain teams are going to eventually catch some fire and drop. I just, like you said, the way they've been shooting has been absolutely ridiculous. But who knows? This could be a dream year for Orlando. Maybe they keep this up for you know, like that 31-11 Miami Heat run last year. Maybe the Magic have where they shoot lights out for the majority of the season.
I mean, I think, you know, getting wins like this for a young team that hasn't had much success is definitely a big boost going in, especially with the wins over the Cavs and the Spurs. You know, even though we know the Spurs weren't 100% and the Cavs are definitely not at their peak right now, it's still confidence for this team. But I don't envision them getting much higher ever than like a six or seven seed in the long-term picture. I think the playoffs are a real possibility now. And I think Vujicic, you know, able to, you know, rebound from last season. There was talk about him being on the trading block, and now he's looking like Jack said, a possible all-star type player. The shooting numbers are going to come down, so you're going to want to see the defense pick up, but that's where Frank Vogel comes in. So I think it could be a really interesting year. And I know Orlando is just a strange team because they just, you know, they didn't really do a ton in the offseason that made them better. They just had a lot of self-improvement on a lot of guys.
Yeah, similar to like a Milwaukee, I guess. I mean, the big move was getting in Jonathan Simmons on the cheap. I think that they got him on a steal and drafting Jonathan Isaac. The two Jonathans are certainly going to have a big impact throughout the season, especially defensively. But because they're not overly old, you know, they're not as young as, you know, the Milwaukee Bucks with Thon, Giannis, and Malcolm Brogdon. But they're certainly not old by any means. They're not like a Cleveland Cavaliers by any stretch. So I think it's banking on that internal development is something that's worthwhile, especially when you have, you know, Frank Vogel couldn't really install a system because the front office was sort of in a little bit of chaos last year, offering contracts to guys like Bismack Biyombo, who is still there, but he's in a better role now. I think there's a bit more stability within that front office, and which in turn sort of trickles down into the rest of the organization.
Very good point, Jack. So that's something we'll keep an eye on all season long. But we also had some real excitement Friday night. Bradley Beal, Draymond Green, Wizards and Warriors. It looks like Draymond hits Bradley Beal with the elbow. Bradley Beal doesn't like it. And on the same possession, Draymond blocked a shot. There's a lot of talk about him saying some things to Beal. Then Beal, after he catches the elbow from Draymond, smacks him in the head. They end up wrapping each other up, heading to the ground. You know, Draymond comes up with a ripped Nike jersey. And it looked like Kelly Oubre got some shots in too. What were your initial reaction when you saw this clip?
That the Nike jerseys are weak and flimsy as shit. Like, seriously, LeBron now Draymond? No. In all seriousness, it wasn't unexpected. This is going to happen when a team has Draymond Green on their roster. He's known to be the loudest, biggest shit talker, trash talker in the NBA. And this Wizards team likes to chirp as well. They're not going to back down. John Wall and Bradley Beal, especially these guys. You know, we all remember that Celtics funeral game, which was pretty fun last year. So, and the fact that they put it up to them, you know, they ended up going down eventually, shows that, you know, they're no pushover. But I think Draymond needs to watch himself, because he had that tech going into that skirmish with Bradley Beal, and then he said, he's like, the league is after me. Well, it's like, no, you don't get that first tech. You're not ejected, Draymond. So I think he needs to, if he doesn't want to get those ejections and those same incidents sort of what derailed the Warriors a couple of years ago, he needs to watch himself. And I think the whole Warriors organization needs to sort of switch on a little bit, because Steve Kerr was mentioning, and even Kevin Durant in some press conferences was mentioning, they just didn't play the right way. They were missing plays. They weren't doing the right playbook. So they've got he said, I think it was, they're just winning on talent. And right now, when you've got four legitimate all-stars, guys going to the Hall of Fame, you can do that. But when it comes to April, May, when things start to tighten up and everyone's sort of switched on, they're not going to be able to do it. So it was interesting. And Bradley Beal came out, I think, today. He's expecting a suspension. And, I mean, is Kelly Oubre going to get suspended? Will Draymond see a suspension? It's watch this space. Will it be fines or suspensions? I'm not sure. I can't really comment on it.
Suspensions. I think they both got to get suspended for a game.
Yeah.
Bradley Beal and Draymond both get suspended for at least a game.
I think Kelly Oubre deserves one as well, to be honest.
I think he came in there throwing fists. He hit John Wall in the back of the head, I think.
Exactly. So, like, he deserves, like, if you hit your star player, you deserve a suspension. Not for hitting.
Suspension.
Not for hitting Clay. Yeah.
And his previous incident last year with Kelly Olynyk. So, I think that kind of gets Oubre. Also, Markieff Morris left the bench. And another Wizards player left the bench, so that's instantly a one-game suspension as well. But I think you made a great point, Jack. You know, Draymond needs to calm down a little bit. You don't want a lot of texts. You don't want to deal with suspensions. And, you know, he says the NBA is after him, but he's done all these things, so he needs to clean up his act if he wants to get the respect that he's looking for.
Yep. Yeah, I couldn't agree.
But, Corey, what do you think – what was the biggest surprise of this incident? Did you think this was, like, something that was going to happen because, you know, the Wizards, like Jack said, are kind of a tough team and Draymond's just kind of going after everybody?
Well, I mean, I think also, you know, I think the fact that the Warriors were down by 14, they've been struggling recently. So then, like, when you're already struggling as a team and then you have this kind of, you know, that back and forth that Bradley Beal and Draymond were having, you know, it was understandable to a degree. Like, tensions were already high, I feel like. And then, you know, Bradley Beal obviously slaps him in the face and then sparks fly.
And you mentioned tensions were high. Last year when the Wizards and Warriors matched up, late in the game, JaVale McGee pulled up for three when they're already up. And Brandon Jennings, I think, like, intentionally fouled him. And there was some talk about that. So maybe there was already some bad blood between these two teams. The Warriors did, I think, end up coming up on top and winning this game, though.
Yeah, the Warriors ended up rallying. And, I mean, you know, losing Bradley Beal was a big part of that, I think, because, you know, that's the huge part of the Wizards' offense. And, I mean, up until that point, they were cruising. I mean, the Warriors looked to be in trouble. And, you know, not that I think Draymond fought Bradley Beal, like, you know, intentionally to, like, spark a fire the team, but rally the team. Where that certain instances like that, they can fire up a team. Because Curry and Durant were extremely – I mean, Curry in particular was on fire that second half.
Yeah, he got the back in it.
Yeah, that's a great point too. And it kind of gives them the spark. And, you know, the Warriors at an advantage, they have, you know, four all-star players, and most teams only have two or three. You know, we'll take that trade every day. We're still going to have one more.
Yeah, and Bradley Beal, I love Bradley Beal from his Florida Gator days. You know, he's got a little, like, chip on his shoulder kind of swagger
for sure
to him. So I'm not surprised that he would go after Draymond, because most people, I feel like, are intimidated by Draymond. And, I mean, Bradley Beal showed no fear in his eyes bringing Draymond to the ground.
I love his reaction as well as he goes off, and he obviously the whole crowd is against him.
There's some
He doesn't
Did you
react.
See the fan? Did you see the fan in the tunnel, like, talking to Bradley Beal, and he's walking down the tunnel?
And flipping him off, too.
He just smiles. I love it. Like, it just shows because, I mean, fans can obviously do what they want. They pay their money, and I guess we could do a whole pod about the whole, can fans go too far? Is it their God-given right? But the fact that Bradley Beal just smiles at him, I think it was the perfect reaction because at the end of the day, Bradley Beal's a $25 million per year player. Is likely to be an all-star this year. And some Joe Schmo sitting in the stands is yelling profanities at him. Who wins in life right now? So I'm all about Bradley Beal as well. Real deal Beal for sure.
But we talked, you know, surprises, we talked fights. Now let's talk disappointments. What's been the biggest disappointment so far this season to you, team-wise or player-wise?
Look, I could go with the easy one, the Phoenix Suns. The whole shit show that is what's going on over there with Earl Watson, Eric Bledsoe and such. But I'm going to go with an under-the-radar one. The Denver Nuggets have been low-key not great lately. And Jamal Murray has been one of the key reasons why. He doesn't take that leap that everyone really expected. He's been pitiful from the field, you know, shooting under 29%. Their whole point guard rotation has been a mess. Wilson Chandler has struggled too. And funnily enough, one of the players and the coaches in front of us that have been shutting the most, Kenneth Faried, has been one of their best players. He's only averaged 11 minutes per game, but he's got an outstanding PER of 25. And in the time he's on the floor, he's been a net positive in nearly all of his lineups. So, I mean, whether him and Emmanuel Mudiay eventually get traded for Eric Bledsoe, I think is something that the Denver will be searching to do. But whether the Phoenix accept that as a package remains to be seen.
That's a good disappointment because the Nuggets have been rather lackluster. I mean, I guess the easy one would be for me. I don't want to pick them. That's too easy. I have Cleveland on paper because obviously they've been disappointing, and you know they've had some questionable losses. I mean, I know you guys are extremely ecstatic about the Nets winning over the Cleveland.
Yeah,
I'm well aware that you guys are, you know, on that train. It's been a roller coaster for you guys. You guys get to see the Nets winning games, which is really fun to see. I'm worried about Cleveland, so I think my biggest disappointment this year so far would be Cleveland.
I believe I saw statistics this morning that the Cleveland has the worst defensive rating than the Suns.
Yep.
Yeah, there you go.
And Minnesota Timberwolves as well, I think, are the worst as well. So we could talk about their defense. But, yeah, I think Cleveland right now, they're just – I think a lot has to be said of Coach Ty Lue. We all know that LeBron runs the show, as we like to say, but – the fact that Coach Lue hasn't been able to integrate the pieces yet, you will look at Boston and they've got a completely new roster, but you know, Kyrie's been doing some nice things. Jason Tatum has been going well and they've sort of worked things out a little bit. But whether it's an ego management thing with guys like D-Wade, Derek Rose has suffered some injuries. When you've got Jose Calderon playing minutes, meaningful minutes, you know things aren't going okay. So I think Cleveland is a good pick, Corey, and they would have been mine one, especially after that really disappointing big loss to the Pelicans.
Yeah, I mean, the only bright spot about Cleveland right now is LeBron James. And also this helps LeBron's MVP case for me, because everyone kept saying the Cavs are too good for LeBron to win MVP. Not that good. And the only way the Cavs are going to win games at this rate looks like is if LeBron almost averages a triple-double every night.
And he's already lost a game when he had a triple-double.
Right. So who thought LeBron can't win MVP, he is going to be in this race. I mean, obviously Giannis at this point, I think is the front runner still. But, man, they're going to make a move. The more and more I see them lose, the more and more I realize this team has to – this is not the team. You can't go through a year with – these guys in place.
Their identity has completely changed. Like last year, they were a jack-em-up three-point team. And you bring in guys, and I mean, it was the worry going into the regular season. When you bring in a guy like Derek Rose, who's an under 30% shooter from three, you bring in a guy like D Wade, who's an under 30% shooter from three, apart from like five games last year, it completely changes how you play the game. And LeBron works best, and it's been harped on like no tomorrow. He works best when he's surrounded by shooters. Last year he had that. You know, Jay Crowder hasn't fit in at all. He's been really underwhelming and hasn't found his niche within that roster. For me, the only above average or at least average player alongside LeBron so far this season has been Kyle Korver. He's been, you know, shooting quite well and hasn't been too bad. Kevin Love's still trying to find his feet at wherever he's playing at the four or the five, you know, with the whole lineup changes. LeBron mentioned in the post-game press conference, they're playing lineups and that they haven't even done in practice. So whether they increase their practice time and actually work on some things there, because the Cavs are known for being a sort of lackluster practice team and sort of just working things out on the fly. You can do that for a certain period of time early in the season, but come January, February, like Nick mentioned, that's when things start to get real. So you got to work things out quick.
Yeah, the one thing I think for the Cavs that'll help them out is it's early in the season. And like you said, the lineups, I just feel like the team is not gelling. You know, a lot of the new pieces aren't working. One guy that's actually been okay, I think Jeff Green's done okay. Like we talked about him a lot, and he's kind of been a surprise. But other than that, you know, Derrick Rose, D Wade, people are banged up. This is an older team, so injuries were definitely going to be a real thing. So, I mean, I think Corey's right. I think they're definitely making a move this year. I think they'll probably move the Nets pick at some point. I don't know who they're going to make the move for, but I could definitely see some real switch up because they need to get probably faster and younger too, because we saw what happened last year against the Warriors in the finals. You know, they weren't quick enough. And this team definitely isn't quick enough either.
Yeah, the more they play it out, I'm starting to think that Kevin Love might not make it through a year. And it's not even because he's bad or anything, but you know, he's got the biggest contract to go out and get a superstar. And I'm starting to think that a DeMarcus Cousins, Kevin Love swap would be really ideal.
It kind of works.
It could, but I don't know if New Orleans can get something going. I don't know if they want to break that party up. You know, it's definitely something interesting. And the way Cousins is playing, I think we mentioned this way back when they first got Cousins. I thought the one thing that would make that fit actually work was the fact that Cousins was a good passer. And last night he had a triple-double. So I think that's something that, you know, everybody's like, you know, they'll make the Cousins trade. But there's no guarantee that the Pelicans are going to want to move Cousins, especially he's already said that he's looking forward to being in New Orleans. And if the team plays well, obviously there's still a lot of season left, but, you know, it could be somebody else on the table.
Wait and see.
Exactly. The trades are definitely always interesting. But you mentioned the Nuggets, and that was another team I had written down as well. I felt like their offense hasn't been what we expected. You know, I think there's a few games where they haven't even hit 100. And last year, you know, they were one of the top offenses in the league. So, and especially adding new pieces, I think Paul Millsap hasn't fit in as well. But let's not talk too much about them because they play the Nets tonight. We don't want to jinx that, Jack. So, but we got a little bit of a fun segment you guys. You know, this is going to be a guessing game. I'm going to give you stats for a play, and you're going to try to guess the guy. So right now, I'm averaging 22 points a game, 3.6 assists, 4.8 rebounds. My team's 4-1. I'm shooting 54% from the field. And
748.
Jack, you're cheating.
Ah, yes. I knew it because I've been doing research.
I had to put one magic guy because they're doing so well. But all right, the next one, I don't know if anybody will get this.
Don't give team record away because that's like there's only three teams 4-1.
All right. I was trying to make it reasonable for you guys, but here we go.
No, more pressure.
25 points. All right, I'm averaging 25 points per game, 2.2 assists, 9.2 rebounds, 1.4 blocks, shooting 51% from the field and 37% from three.
Blake Griffin.
Nope. Do you want another guess or you want me to tell you?
Wait a minute. Now give me the team record.
Yeah.
All right, 4-1.
So it's another someone from the Spurs.
It's Aldridge.
Yeah.
It's Aldridge.
Ah, I was going to say it. That's good.
All right. Corey's going to get this one because I already hinted to him. So I'll let Jack get one guess before you tell him who it is. 9.8 points per game, 1.5 assists per game, 1.8 rebounds per game. 26% from the field, 22% from three, and this is all in 32 minutes a game. And my team has one win.
Wow. Lonzo Ball?
Nope.
Oh.
Corey, let him know.
Corey, you take over.
I'll give one more guess.
All right.
One more, Jack. You got this. Come on. I gave you a hint before.
So they're 1-5 right now, so they're obviously trash.
No, they're not. Oh, well, all I said is they have one win. I'm not saying how many losses, just one win.
Okay. What position does he play?
He's a wing.
No, come on.
He's a wing. I'll tell you that. He's a wing.
He's a wing. Ugh.
You've been to this city before?
I've been to this city before. So it's going to be a New York or an LA player. I've been to Chicago as well. That doesn't make it any easier for me.
That's 13, Jared. Good. I'm glad it doesn't make it any easier.
I'll give up.
It's a $72 million player.
$72 million player. Okay. Is it Tim Hardaway Jr.?
Yes.
God.
And that wraps it up. Oh. That's only three I had for you. But I'm surprised you're going to get that, Jack.
It was there, but it wasn't there. Like, I feel like I just – I tried to block out the Knicks after that horrible game. I feel like it's just been – I've put it into the deep, dark recesses of my memory, sort of like pushed it down. Yeah, let's not talk about the Knicks, please.
Oh, wait, field goal percentage of 26% is rough.
You know what we can't talk about? I thought he was going to have a blow-up game on FanDuel a couple nights ago, and I played him like in every lineup, and he did not. He had 1 point, I think, at halftime, and I was like, thank you. That's fantastic.
And not to talk like a lot of shit about him, but he's just taking a ton of bad shots. You know, he's taking
doesn't look good.
Yeah, a ton of mid-range. Like, he knows his jumper is not hitting right now, and he's taking a ton of mid-range, a ton of contested threes. Like, bro, get to the rim. Get to the free throw line. Get yourself going. You know, you're not going to get better by shooting a ton of mid-rangers, especially contested ones.
Get some easy shots.
And I think, guys,
can we just – start a segment where we do, like, a Hawk track? Because the Hawks are 1-5. I just want to say they're 1-5.
Not the worst record in the league, though. I think the Mavs are 1-6.
Well, they'll get there today when they lose.
Damn. Corey with that Atlanta Hawk hate.
Hawk title.
I told you. What I said, like, 19 wins was best-case scenario. I'm rolling with it, man.
I thought Dennis Schroeder was going down for a long time when I initially saw that injury, and I was like, wow, Corey is going to be right. But he actually is back. But, I mean, it has been rough, but there's a lot of bad teams. That's their only hope. Like, there's a lot of teams that have just played some sloppy ball.
But they have already
they're playing the Bucks today, and Giannis is probably going to go off for about 80. So
yeah.
And they lost to the Bulls as well, which, I mean,
that doesn't
they could have.
You know what's funny, though?
That doesn't help either.
I played that team in FanDuel and won money off it because I figured they're both bad enough. It's going to be a really good game, and it pretty much was. Lauri Markkanen has been really good for Chicago. Shout out to him.
Yeah, he's been nice.
Yeah, he's definitely taking advantage of that Bobby Portis punch.
Hell yeah.
Nikola Mirotic doesn't even want to go back after it.
If I was Mirotic, I could understand why he'd be like, yo, like, he's probably scared for his life right now.
I mentioned to Nick on our episode of JBT that's coming out soon, the fact that if you were working with someone and they punched you in the face, would you still want to work with that person anymore?
No, especially if he punched him in the face and broke his face. He didn't just, like, give him a black eye. His face is broken. And he's still in the hospital getting surgery and having headaches.
Well, especially, like, it's not like they were boys to begin with.
Exactly.
Like, if it's your boy and you have, like, a heated discussion, like, I've gotten in fights with my friends, like, where that, like, we've choked out and we wrestled, and, like, for, like, a day we're mad.
Yeah.
Never like someone, and then they bust your face and break bones? Like, no. There's no mending that bridge. That bridge is completely burnt and crumbled. It's non-existent.
Yeah. And, you know, the trade value is just not there for either guy, so God bless the Bulls.
I don't know. I would have interest in Bobby Portis. I mean, the only thing is, you know, with his crazy eyes.
Yeah, like, well, I mean,
fearful he's going to come in and punch my players.
Exactly. So I'm saying, like, most that they probably could get for either of these guys is maybe a future second round pick or a conditional pick or something along those lines.
Yeah, cash considerations for the pick.
Yeah, something just to clean up the locker room. But that wraps it up for today. Thank you guys for hopping on. As always, thank you everybody for listening. And you can listen to the NBA Outlet on iTunes, Block Talk Radio, YouTube, and otgbasketball.com.